Blog Talk Radio.
My territory. And the question and the thing that was most important in that Chronicles word was your hand, that your hand would be with me. You know, we sing the song. You know, I was listening to the prayer of Jabez, bless me indeed, enlarge my territory. But we need God. Through Jesus, to keep his hand upon us. We ask God to be with us. An enlarged territory means nothing, absolutely nothing. Because, you know, when we go to the book of James, James tells us straight up, you know, as they say, James gets all in your business. Because James will tell you, where do wars and fights come from among you? And I'm talking James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. When we talk about enlarged territory, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And what we forget in the book of Chronicles, when we talk about Jabez and people ask for that Jabez blessing, was that Jabez called on God. Before you get to that, it says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And that is the key to this whole prayer and blessing, was that he was honorable. He wasn't proud. He didn't think he was all that. He was humble and honorable to God. You know, and to have a name like Jabez, it's me, I bore him in pain. But God, you know, we're doing genealogy this week in Chronicles, and I'm going to be honest, some of the names are hard to pronounce if you don't have the right accent. I'm a Kentucky girl, and sometimes those names come out horrible, I admit it. But I trust God, and God knows my heart, and he knows who I'm talking about. Hallelujah. So all I can say is thank you, God. As you enlarge territories, God, as we ask for the blessings, God, we ask that we be honorable and not prideful. So, Father God, as I lift up this mighty word this morning, I lift it up to you with a humble heart, asking you to bless the word, bless the hearers of the word, bless the reader of the word, bless those that are in need of miracles, Lord God. Bless bereaved families today, God. You know each and every one. You know those that have lost siblings, those that have lost wives and husbands, those that have lost children, those that have lost them in so many ways. But God, we ask your blessings over mothers and fathers. We ask your blessings over children. We ask your blessings over families, God. As we go through genealogies of Judah and all the sons of Isaac, and all the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as we go through the family lineage of your children, God, we ask you, God, to give us clarity, God, of who belongs to you, who are your special children. Lord, we know we are all pulled in by the blood of Jesus. And we ask you, God, to continue guiding and leading us, that we will walk in your marvelous light and not in darkness. Father God, I lift up all families today and ask you, Lord God, to unite them in love. Lord God, we're asking that the violence stop in this world, especially in this nation we call America, God, where guns are more important than people. We ask your grace, God. We ask your grace. Please cover our children as many are out for the summer, God. We ask you, Lord God, to bless the bereaved families of those that lost loved ones because of gun violence and violence over this Juneteenth weekend. What's supposed to be a celebration of freedom became horrible because there are those that just do evil. And Lord God, you know who each and every one is. And we ask you, Lord God, to cleanse this nation of violence, to cleanse this nation of the blood, sweat, and tears of those that have come before us, who nation within enslaved. We forgive, God. We forgive us descendants of faith. We forgive. And ask you, Lord God, to come back into this nation, God. To let your love shine over all the hate and bigotry and racism and things that are not like you. Lord God, let us speak what is. And that is, Lord God, we need love. Let your Holy Spirit dwell and light up this nation brighter than it's ever been lit, God. Let there be a mighty Pentecostal revival like there was in the book of Acts. We're asking you, God, to take control of this nation, God. Not in hatred, not in all the rhetoric of those that truly do not know you, but you are a God of love, not God of those that think they know you as they judge and condemn. But the only judge is you, God. Give myself away, God, for you to use me today, God. Let your word come forth from me, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart as I pray every day be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. And as I lift up children today, all the children of this planet, God, keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, God. Let the babies see the wolves in sheep clothing, God. Let the parishioners in congregations with wolves as pastors see the wolves, God. Let them see that they are ravenous wolves doing nothing but to cause division and hatred. For those that try to put themselves in your place, God, let members of congregations, as members of your united church, see them for what they are, prideful and greedy. But you, God, have already said in your word what you feel, and that you want honorable men and women to be in the pulpits, that it's not about what sex you are. It's about the calling. Father God, I thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, let us not waste it or throw it away. In Jesus' name, let us be blessed, God, as you bless Jabez, because we are honorable. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. Oh, this word is genealogy. And the reason we read genealogy is because we would miss this highlightable. We would miss this story of Jabez, this honorable man born of Judah. We would have missed who he is. We would have missed that God blesses his sons and daughters. But James breaks it all down for us. And we got to remember that as well. We have not because we ask not. But then the whole thing that comes back is sometimes you have not because you ask amiss. We've got to ask with honor for God to bless. And the blessings are not always for us. The blessings may be for others. We got to pray for the lifting up of those that are in need. And as we go into 1 Chronicles chapter 3, and it says, Now these were the sons of David, who were born to him in Hebron. The firstborn was Amnon by Anianum, the Jezreelite. The second, Daniel, by Abigail the Carmelite. The third, Absalom, the son of Micah, the daughter of Talmah, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Agit-Charim, by his wife, Eglah. These six were born to him in Hebron. There he reigned 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years. And these were born to him in Jerusalem, Shimei, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, born by Bathsheba, the daughter of Ammon. Also there was Ibtar, Eshlamah, Eliphelet, Negah, Nepheg, Japheth, Eshlamiah, Eladiah, Eliphelet, 9 in all. These were all the sons of David besides the sons of the concubines and Tamar, their sister. Solomon's son was Rehoboam. Abijah was his son. Asa, his son. Jehoshaphat, his son. Joram, his son. Azariah, his son. Joash, his son. Amaziah, his son. Azariah, his son. Jotham, his son. Ahaz, his son. Hezekiah, his son. Manasseh, his son. Amon, his son. And Josiah, his son. The sons of Josiah were Jotham, the firstborn, the second, Jehoiakim, the third, Zedekiah, and the fourth, Shalom. The sons of Jehoiakim were Jeconiah, his son, and Zedekiah, his son. And the sons of Jeconiah were Esther, Shelethel, his son, and Mount Chiram, Kediah, Nebuchadnezzar, Jehanamah, Hoshemiah, and Nadiah. The sons of Padiah were Jerubbabel and Shammai. The sons of Zerubbabel were Meshullam, Hananiah, Shelemiah, their sister, and Hashabai, Ohio, Padiah, and Jehoshadad, five in all. And I am so sorry. Please forgive me, family, because I know that I am butchering some of these names, but I'm going to do my best because God knows my heart. The sons of Hananiah were Pelatiah and Jeshaiah, the sons of Raphaiah, the sons of Arnon, the sons of Obadiah, and the sons of Shechaniah. The sons of Shechaniah were Shemaiah. The sons of Shemaiah were Hetesh, Egeo, Beriah, Neriah, Shephat, six in all. The sons of Neriah were Eli, Oniah, Hezekiah, and Azakim, three in all. The sons of Elanai were Hodaviah, Ishael, Peliah, Echab, Jonan, Deliah, Anai, seven in all. And then these are the sons of Judah. And as we know, Judah was not right. Judah was not going to give his son to Tamar. But Tamar is the one that had the sons that lived. And the sons of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Ur, Shobal, and Raiah. The sons of Shobal begot Jahan. And Jahaz begot Ahumai and Lahad. These were the families of the Zerahites. These were the sons of the father of Etham, Jezreel, Ishma, and Adabash. And the names of their sister was Hezabani. And Tino was the father of Gedar, and Ezer was the father of Hashmon. These were the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Arasan, and the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Elah and Nerah. Nerah bore him Ahazam, Hefer, and Tamini. And Nerah, the sons of Elah, were Jerith, Zohar, and Ethan. And Kaz begot Anub, Zobibah, and the families of Aharel, the son of Haram. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he needed. And understand, when we go back to this word, and this is where our title comes from, oh, that you would bless me indeed, that your hand would be with me, is our title. And when we go back and it says, Jabez was more honorable, but his mother called him Jabez because I bore him in pain. But what did he ask God for? You know, we know, everybody wants to say, enlarge my territory. You know, bless me indeed. You know, I pray for increase. But that's not what the word says. The word of God says, Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, but that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil and that I may not cause pain. He did not want to cause pain because his mother said, named him Jabez because she said, I bore him in pain. And he's like, I don't want to cause any more pain, God. So God granted him what he requested. you know, we don't get the whole crux of a word. That's why we have to go to the word ourselves. You know, I love that song. You know, bless me indeed. Oh, Lord, enlarge my territory. You know, that, you know, oh, Lord, bless me indeed. I pray for increase. You know, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. But we need to go ourselves back to the word and read the actual words that the song is based on. Because it's more about, more than an enlarging of territory. He is asking God, don't let me cause any more pain. And that to me is more important than a large territory, is for God to be with him, to keep his hand on him, and not to cause pain. That is what we need to pray. It's not about what we have. It's how we use it. And it says, Shelub, the brother of Shahar, begot Nir, who was the father of Eshton. And Eshton begot Beth Rapha, Asiya, and Tahana, the father of Ishmael. These were the men of Ritah. The sons of Kenaz, Ria. The sons of Othniel were Hathath and Manoathai, who begot Ophrah. Jehira begot Joab, the father of Jehoshaphat, but they were craftsmen. The sons of Caleb, the sons of Jephunneh, were Eli and Nam. The sons of Eli were Kenaz. The sons of Jehiel were Japhet, and I am sorry, but I am going to skip the rest of these names. You know, but we got to remember that the sons of Shelah, the sons of Judah, were the father of Lachish, Ladah, the father of Merahash, and the families of the house of the linen workers of the house of Ishbak. Also, Jochim, the men of Chashabah, and Joash. And there's so many names in here that I am so sorry. Come down and get some more in there. But this is what it says when we go to the life lesson from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Jabez called on the God of Israel. God granted him what he requested. Jabez lived an honorable life and made specific prayer requests to God. And the Lord heard him and answered his prayer. Prayer is life's greatest time saver. We have got to pray. And as we go back into some of these names, I am at verse 28. And it says, they dwelt in Beersheba, Moladah, Hazar, Shalon, Belhai, Ezim, Tolad, Bethel, Homer, Greg, you'll see again, Beth, Marabas, Hazar, Bethim, Bethra, Bera, and the Sharam. These were their cities until the reign of David, and their villages were Etham and Ramon, Tarkin, and Ashton, five cities, and all the villages were around these cities as far as Baal. And as we continue, it goes on to say, as we go through many more names and families, it says, so they went to the entrance of Gedar as far as the east side of the valley to seek pasture for their flocks, and they found rich, good pasture. And the land was broad, quiet, and peaceful. For far, some Amalekites formerly lived there. These recorded by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and they attacked their tents and the Midianites who were found there, and utterly destroyed them as it is to this day. So they dwelt in their place because there was pasture for the flocks there. Now some of them, 500 men of the sons of Simeon, went to Mount Seir, having as their captain Pelatai, Meriah, Raphaiah, and Uzziel, the sons of Ishai. And they defeated the rest of the Amalekites who had escaped. They have dwelt there to this day. So it is territory. It is name. And it is a chronicle of who all these people were. And some names stick out, some names do not, because there are so many. And many are hard to pronounce. I'm just going to call it. And I have gone through and practiced the names and still butcher them. So, God, you know my heart, and I ask forgiveness for not pronouncing these names all correctly, because I am human, and I am not from the Middle East place where the names are spelled in some of these ways. Hezekiah, thank you, Lord, I can pronounce that in the name of Jesus. And as we continue, and you got to laugh at yourself. So anyone getting all bent out of shape, please forgive me, because I'm just going to keep it real. There are some things I can and cannot pronounce, but God knows our hearts, God knows our spirits, and God knows that First Chronicles is something else when it comes to the names of some of these families. But God is good. And we all know that there are names to this day that folks are, as we go forth in our Psalms this morning, also right in, on point with our title for today. We have to have that spirit of the best and be honorable to God. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and that your hand would be with me. And then as we go into our psalm this morning, it says you yourself are to be feared. And we're talking God. We got to fear God. And this is a psalm of Asaph. You know, and he said in Judah, God is known. It's how it starts. And in verse 7, it says, you yourself are to be feared. And who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth. See, note, all the of the earth. God will deliver the oppressed. God will deliver the widows who have lost everything. God will deliver the orphans who are in foster care, children not being treated well. God will deliver them. And it says, sure, the wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Don't say, Lord, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and don't do it, because you've broken the vow to God. We have to be very careful that we don't make vows that we cannot keep. Lord, I'm going to fast 5 days a week. If you can't do it, don't make that vow to God. I'm giving up X, Y, and Z. And if you don't give up X, Y, and Z, well, I'll just have a little bit. No, you said you gave it up. You gave it up. And I'm speaking it myself. I gave up pork some years ago. And, you know, I've had people say, oh, girl, you can eat that rib. No, I can't. Unless it's a beef rib. And then I just recently gave up beef for Lent, and I haven't eaten it since. So I can't have that either. Because I vowed to God that I was going to fast from pork and beef until God tells me that my fast is over, and it's not over yet. Either one. By choice, because I made a vow to God. And so don't try to tempt people who tell you that I'm fasting from X, Y, and Z. Or today I'm fasting from this time to this time. They'll say, well, let's go out and eat. When you know they fast from 7 o'clock until 7 in the morning. Or that they fast after 7 o'clock until whenever God tells them to eat again. Don't test or try to take what God, before I made vows to God for. It says, make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. You yourself are to be feared. It says the contemporary American church has lost most of its fear of God. And that is one big reason why it is so weak. Come on now. And we got to tell the truth and shame that wicked devil. The fear of God is no longer in the church. I'm afraid. I'm not playing with God. I'm not. Because God does not play back. And God is going to judge me one day. I don't play with God, and we can't play with God. We can't go and play church one day a week and act like we're holy. We got to stay in this word of God. We got to read it. We got to study it. And even if you can't pronounce the names, you got to read them anyway. God knows everything about us. And he is our judge, not sister such and such. And brother, I know everything. Only God can judge you. Only God can judge your situation. Only God can send you to hell. And we got to quit letting people dictate who we are. We got to stand up and say, I am a child of God, and I worship him in spirit and truth. I'm not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to study. And if that's not who you are, I pray for you to be saved. Can't just talk about it. We got to be about it. Because God is watching everything we do. And none of us are perfect. God knows I'm not. But I'm working. I'm working so hard trying to get better. And we ask God, Lord, remove that thorn in my side. Whatever your thorn may be, ask God to remove it. You know, we understand that sometimes our thorns are to keep us humble. And the word of God says, fear him who after he has killed has vowed to cast in hell. And again, the only one that can cast you in hell is God. And don't tempt people. Try to be, because you are acting in the spirit of evil. If you tell your sister who you know is in the process of fasting and praying, oh, girl, you don't need to do all of that. It don't take all of that. It don't take all of that. It might take all of that for them. It might take all of that for me. It may take all of that for my mother or my sister or my brother, because you don't know what anybody's praying for. You don't know what someone is fasting for. You don't know their story. And we need to stop being the judge and jury of everybody, because we always got our big old huge flank as we trying to take somebody's back out. We got to be careful. And we got to make sure, as Proverbs 19:8-9 says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. Wondering why stuff is going on with certain people. Because they done lied their way to wherever they got. And God is now revealing all the lies. Now, there will always be people who would rather believe evil and lies than to believe the truth and God's grace. And let's call it straight. You have people in the church that would prefer to believe a lie than to believe the truth that comes from the word of God. That's why you have to study and show yourself approved. When someone gets in the pulpit and they start preaching the word and they'll go over a quick scripture, you got to go to the scripture yourself. Write it down. Take a note. If now you got the smartphone, videotape, audio tape, so you get that word and you can go back and listen again and then go to your word and look it up when you have more time to study it. Because many times we all have heard the word preached out of context. And you're like, that's not what it says. Because when you read it yourself and know it yourself, you know when somebody is trying to pull a wool, trying to speak out, that is not right. That is not what the word of God says. Because they'll take a small scripture and take it and run with it. Just like, how many times have you heard Jabez preach and all out of context? The fact that he was an honorable man is never mentioned. The fact that he asked God to keep him from evil, and that he may not cause, never mention. All it's talked about is that prosperity. Oh, I can have all that it is. I can enlarge my territory. I can ask, and I got to get it, because, no, that's not what it's all about. He asked for this stuff, but he did not want to get it and cause pain. And that's the main thing. He was honorable. Of all the stuff, God pulled that out when I was studying, that Jabez was honorable to God. He was more honorable than all his brothers. And that's why he asked and God answered. Because he did not ask amiss. Hallelujah. You get a chance. Read chapter 4 of the book of James. James did not play. He broke it down and down. He broke it and he spoke it. And he don't play. We got to understand that what you ask for, yes, God will give it to you. But don't pray amiss. Don't pray in selfishness. Pray so that you can be a blessing to someone. You know, as you look around and you see your overflow, ask God, Lord, what do I need to give away? And he will answer you. Lord, what do I need to bless somebody else? How can I bless someone else? God will. Acts chapter 4, verse 23-37. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Does it not, that word is a today word too. Even though it was spoken thousands of years ago, it is a today word. Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Come on now. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. It that is coming. That's prophecy. But truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your words by stretching out your hand to heal. Ooh, hallelujah. We claim healing today for the sick. We claim healing today for the shut in. We claim healing today for those that God has chosen to heal. I'm believing God for healing. I'm believing God for miracles. I'm believing God for signs and wonders, that those that do not know him completely will be saved. And it says your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. In Jesus' name, we got to pray. In Jesus' name, we got to believe. In Jesus' name, we got to know that God is in charge. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. We got to learn how to not be afraid to call on the name of Jesus and not be afraid to speak the word of God in boldness, because God will not be spewing me out today, because he doesn't know me, because I was wishy-washy, one foot in and one foot out. We got to be wholeheartedly in for the Lord. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. It says, now the multitude of those who believe were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to anyone had need. And Hosea, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And as we go back into the life lessons from Acts chapter 4, it says, grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word. As Jabez asked for territory and asked not to cause pain and asked to be kept from evil and not in necessarily that order, the apostle asked for God to grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. In a world that does not respect God or honor Jesus, we must pray for boldness and strength to represent him well, and by our words and actions draw some into a saving relationship with Christ. We got to learn how to speak boldly. Don't be afraid to say who you are, but you got to act like it. You got to act like the son and daughter of the Most High. You can't claim, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, and act hateful, mean and nasty, or hardy, or act like you're better than anybody else. Have an encouraging word. Don't look down on somebody because of how they look or how they dress. And I'm speaking this from my own positive mind. I had I guess I could say, it was somewhat of a bigoted attitude or a prejudice against young people who dressed a certain way and looked a certain way because walked in fear, not in faith. Until one rainy night when I got caught in a flood and my car couldn't move and water was coming up to the door. And I looked up and these three young people came walking toward me, one in his little white beater shirt, you know, pants hanging down over his bottom, girl in short shorts and a t-shirt, you know, with the tattoos. And then another one who had on a pair of sweats with one of the legs pulled up. And they coming toward me in my car. And instead, and of course, all those things that you had thought in your life, oh, they said, say this, say that. She ain't none but a little, you know, she need to pull them shorts there. All those negative things that goes through your mind because you think you're so holy and so righteous. You better get out of it because you never know. You may be entertaining angels unaware. And that night God showed me, don't walk in fear. You don't know that these may be my angels come to save you. And these young people who seem tall as mountains to me came and pushed my car up a hill out of the water. The water was up to their knees. And they pushed my car up a hill. And then no sooner as they pushed the car up a hill, here comes a tow truck. Pulls my car up. He says, oh, I own this building right here. He said, let me get your car and I'll move it over there. Come on now. And then when I turn around, I thank the kids. But when I turn around to thank them again, they're gone. You don't know. When you're looking at folks in the wrong way, you may be looking at angels unaware. We got to get rid of all the stuff that gets into our spirit. Bigotry, racism, judging spirit. You never know who God will send to help you. Be very careful what you do and what you say and how you treat your fellow man. That night, my attitude changed because God showed me myself, and it wasn't nice. And that night, God took my car, because sometimes we can get so caught up in what we have that God will break you down and take it off. And then you know how other people feel. Then you know that you need to appreciate your blessings. Jabez prayed for the enlargement, but he also prayed to be kept from evil. He also prayed that God's hand would be on him. He also prayed that he would never cause pain. Word. That's why we read it. That's why we study it. That's why we show ourselves approved by meditating on it. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. When they had prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. There is no substitute for believers regularly coming together for earnest prayer. God does amazing things in response to the faith-filled congregational prayers of his people. And this word helped me understand why my pastor is so filled up when it comes to prayer. She wants us to be in church on Tuesday afternoons for 1 hour to congregationally pray. Because when you come together in prayer as a congregation, the Holy Spirit does come in. I've seen it. And I have to ask God, Lord, take away that procrastinating spirit that I am where I'm supposed to be at 5 o'clock, where I'm supposed to be at 10 o'clock on Sunday, because the enemy will send distraction. He will send everything at you that you need to know. Sleep in the morning when you know you got a word to give at 7. Oh, I'm so tired. I don't, you know, get up. You got work to do. We got to learn how to get up and go to work for God. And for the life example of this word this morning, and I am filled up. I can't help myself, because when I think about the goodness of God and how he will talk with you, walk with you, and be with you, and how he will come through when you least expect, God is in charge of our life, and we got to know it. In Barnabas, always an encouraging word. Whenever Barnabas went, people's faces lit up. They knew that his presence brought a kind word, a helpful suggestion, and a load of encouragement. We thank God for the Sister Carolines in our lives. In fact, that's how he got his name. He was born Hoseas or Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, but his reassuring and cheerful ways soon prompted the apostles to give him the nickname Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Without Barnabas, there might never have been an Apostle Paul. It was Barnabas who introduced Saul to the church when everyone else was afraid of him. And when the apostles sent Barnabas to check up on a young church, he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. But he was a good man, full of Holy Spirit and of faith. Don't you agree that we should use a few more believers like Barnabas? And I like to say, like Sister Carolyn, who every day has an encouraging word, has a word that will light your heart up, will make you feel so special, will make you know that God is in there. And it says, and our word for this morning, our Barnabas, our Sister Carolyn, with our encouraging word that just lights up your heart. Your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Have a terrific Tuesday. You know, as we, the best prayed, you know, he asked for his current situation to be changed because it was not his final destination. He asked God to enlarge his territory, but he asked for other things that were even more important, that the Lord's hand would be with him, that he would keep him from evil, that he may not cause pain. Those are the things that he asked for. So when you pray for Jabez and you pray that prayer, remember that it is not about the stuff. It is about God. It is about protection. It is about not causing anyone pain. And you have to have a spirit of Barnabas and have that encouraging word. Your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. As Sister Carolyn, our Barnabas, tells us this morning, your best is yet to come. And I love the word that is in our prayer for this morning from our prayer book. If there's anybody in this time that God has placed a word in your heart, now is the time to push the number 1 on your phone and speak whatever God has given you this morning. But this is what our prayer for today says. Ultimate God, I want you to pattern your life after me, just as I patterned mine after Christ, spoke by Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, everlasting God, you are the best leader. I submit my life to you, trusting you to guide me in truth with your constant presence as my companion. I will live my life looking to the example of Jesus. Let courageous compassion be the hallmark of my relationship. I love that. May let courageous compassion, because it's so easy to follow the crowd and dislike this person or that person. We got to get out of the crowd mentality and think for yourself and ask God to guide you in who you have relationship with. May kindness flow from my words and actions, calling attention to your faithful love. When I speak, may my words be delivered in grace covered truth. Hallelujah. And as my pastor say, may our words be delivered in love. As I work, let the produce be faithfully reflective of both your creativity and stability with your life as the prime model. Jesus, I will never go wrong by choosing to act in loving kindness for those who are commonly overlooked, like those kids that I was judging from afar who wound up being angels unaware. Those kids who I looked, put my sanctified nose up in the air, were the ones that saved me and pushed me out of the raging water. And then when I went back to the place the next day, not a sign that there had been a flood in that location. That's why you know that God is in charge of everything, and that sometimes God will take what you put ahead of him. God will take it. God would knock you down a peg or two, as they say. The old people used to say, God would knock them down a peg or two, because they don't keep that girl smelling herself or that boy smelling himself. When you think you've grown, God will knock you down. You better understand. We got to know who we belong to. And as we go back with this word, it says, I will never go wrong by choosing to act in loving kindness for those who are commonly overlooked. Be kind to others, family. When I am tempted to choose my own comfort over obedience to you, remind me of your persistent pursuit of my own heart. Help me to courageously push past fear, come on now, and live as you would in submission to the will of the Father. And the question is today, what leads you in life as you pray? Are you praying out of selfishness? Are you praying out of need? Are you praying for someone else? We got to pray for others. God will enlarge your territory, but never ask for the enlargement without God being in it and over it. Ask for wisdom, but ask for wisdom for God to be in charge of your life. That is all God has given me this morning. If there is no one that has a word from the Lord that they would like to share, it's a wrap, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' presence, in the holy name, Lord God, I lift up this planet. I lift up all the people in it. I lift up the universe, God, because you created everything. Father God, lead and guide us in the way that you want us to go, Lord God. that we will not depart from what you give us, God. So, Father God, as we depart from each other, we ask your blessings. We ask those diverse blessings, Lord God. Enlarge the territories of those listening now and later, God. Enlarge the territories that, Lord God, before you enlarge, give us more of you. Give us more of you and protect us from the evil one, God. Let us never cause pain for anyone. Let us think before we speak. And let us live the life that you have called us to live in righteousness and in love. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we love you. We praise you. We give you honor and we give you glory. But there is no name higher than your name, Father God. And it's in the name of the next Matthew Savior, who is one with you, and the Holy Spirit, who abides in each and every one of us so that we can speak to and hear from you. Thank you, God, for your Spirit within us. Enlarge it, God. Enlarge your Holy Spirit that we will know who we belong to. And we belong to you. In Jesus' name, I look up, lift up, giving honor, glory, and praise. Thank you, bless all. Thank you, your way. Read your way. Meditate on your way. Study your way. Let's pass your stuff. Who have the hardest job out there, God. Watch over them. Bless my pastor, God. Keep us safe from all harm and danger, God. Protect us from the tongues that wag. Because women should not be in the pulpit, as there are those that claim. But we know, God, you are the one that chooses your daughters. You are the one that places your messengers where you desire. And you, Lord God, are the judge of us all. In Jesus' name, I lift up again, Lord God, thanking you for this day. And you are made on rejoicing with me. Amen. Thanking you all again for staying here with me. Keep praying. Pray for your sisters. Pray for this planet. Because this is where we live. This is the air we breathe that God gave us. Pray and pray some more for those that are less fortunate than yourself. Pray as you ask for your territory to be enlarged. Ask God how to share it with others. Be blessed with the rest.